Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. We are still going through how to set effective goals. The reason we're doing it now is because if you're going to have New Year's resolutions, you're going to actually try to, when you go to work on New Year's or the day after New Year's, the second, or whenever you go back to work for the new year, you're making changes, you're making improvements. You want to be more successful. So anyway, where we left off was attributes and things that you need to consider in becoming more effective in setting goals and becoming more effective and successful in your professional career path. And so anyway, before we get back into that, I need to just go through the obligatories because, again, we're starting in a whole new episode here. So this show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. What we want to do is we want to try to wrap this up because I'm hoping for our New Year's Day, we'll do a level of marketing. We're going to talk about kind of like the previous year, what was accomplished, what wasn't accomplished, and where we're heading. And there's, some pragmatic perspective of some of the things that have been happening and what is ahead on the future for the 2020 election. So we'll be kind of focused on not necessarily content. It will be more of a marketing show if we can get through these. So I want to kind of fire through this quickly. If you want to know what the heck is going on in the future shows, go to the Red State Talk Radio page. And right there at the top, we're giving you the information of the things that are forthcoming. Okay? Some of the things that we also ask, and we want to help plant the seed, get you to start planting the seed regarding Constitution Day so that we can do better in being more observant and creating a better awareness regarding the Constitution. I'm just amazed at how little people understand the Constitution. And so with that, I also need to tell you that we've got Red State Coffee that is our sponsor, and we beg and plead that you, if you're a coffee drinker, you should consider buying Red State Coffee. At least try it. Let us know what you think. If you're a real connoisseur, then you can tell us, hey, this is top notch, or it's mud. Anyway, we would be honored if you would support us in the coffee that is supporting us, the proceeds, they give us a percentage of the proceeds. So we appreciate those who are buying and who are supporting Red State Coffee. With that, I guess what we can do is you can also just send us a check. If you've got comments, we have our comment line, 425-270-5416. Just leave a message. Or you can email us at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. Excuse me. And I'm almost over. I'm almost over that. It's just little residuals, as you can kind of tell. So what we're doing for the last 2 days of the year, as we head into the new year, I believe I would be doing you a better service if I can help you become more successful. So there are a lot of people that know how to create effective goals, and there's most people that don't. They don't know. They don't care. It's just too much effort. They've already got a job. 9 times out of 10, people only take time to make improvements in their life when they have to. People like getting caught in a rut, and then, as long as they get their vacations and have their, entertainment time, then they're okay. That's the typical American. I do not believe that the people, the patriots that listen to the show are typical Americans. I believe the people that listen to the show are looking and wanting and aspiring to make improvements in every way they possibly can. And in their career path, that's a good way of doing it. So what we left off with in our previous episode was we were starting to talk about attributes that you need to assess on an annual basis. Now, one of these attributes I talk about a lot, and that's productivity. Are you are you optimized in your productivity? When you get to work, do you, you know, what they call jaw jack, or do you, you know, flap the gums? Do you talk at the water cooler? Do you spend a lot of time socializing? I mean, it's one thing to be, you know, social and getting along with others, being nice, being cordial, but it's another thing not being productive. Your employer is not paying you, and if you are the employer, you realize that if you're not producing the money, if you're not producing a product, then you're not bringing a check home. Because 9 times out of 10, employers realize those who are not getting the work done, and they find somebody else that'll actually, because they got work to do. They don't care about what's going on unless you happen to be working in a newsroom. They don't care about the news. They don't care about the game. I mean, there may be people that actually have, you know, interest in the things that are going on in life, like whatever, sports, what have you. But when it comes to work, you're there to work. That's why they call it work, right? And it's work. And so because it's work, that's why they pay you. They don't pay you to play. Unless you're in a band or something like that, and then it's not really playing, it's work. But anywho, productivity is a key thing. How productive are you? Can you improve your productivity? Do you find yourself being consumed more in doing emails and in correspondence and those types of things? It takes you away from your productivity. Those types of things you have to start assessing and saying, you know what, I need to have better time management skills. So this goes back to training again. And so how can I improve my productivity? Maybe it's time management. Once you figure out what you may need to improve this attribute, productivity being one, then you go get the training, get the tools, get whatever is necessary to help you be more productive. I mean, what we want is we want our home run king to hit home runs every time he steps up to the plate, or she. And so that's what we're paying you for. So be as productive as you possibly can. You know, employers don't, or companies don't survive if their employees are trying to do minimal production. Anyway, the next attribute is your skills. How are your tangible skills? This goes back to the core competencies and so forth. How are your skills across the spectrum in your job description? How are your skills in matching what that job description is? Are you doing more? I have a loved one that their skills actually exceed what they're being paid. And so they're offering a lot more. They're giving a lot more to the company that they work for than what they're really being paid. And so I think it's really important that when somebody is, you know, providing something and they, you know, a way a company recognizes an employee is multiple fold. One is the oral recognition, you know, in stating something like this, you know, we would not nearly be as successful without you. Since you have taken this position, we have become far more successful. Now, for a company to acknowledge that, then the following thing that comes out of their mouth is, we need to be giving you more money. But companies are cheap. Most people, they just don't want to throw more money out there. But the bottom line is, if you, and I'm putting this in context to this loved one, if you've raised the bar and you are really bringing that much game, you've improved that much more, that if you left, they would be lost, or they would not necessarily be lost, but they would be hurting and they would not be able to replace you. And in that perspective, you have to be honest with them and say, look, I am providing you all of these skills and, you know, in management, in administration, in leadership, in, you know, training and processes and so forth. And you're only paying me just a little bit more than what I used to make. I believe I deserve better. and then have that honest conversation. Because, you know, if you would treat me, and you need to figure out exactly, as you say this to my loved one, you need to figure out what that really is. Understanding that you can't kill the goose that's laying the golden egg. The company is the goose, right? And it's getting golden eggs, and it's only making so many. You can't ask for more golden eggs than the goose is making, nor can you ask for, you know, enough to actually, you have to make sure that goose can continually produce golden eggs. And your job is to get that goose to produce more, you know, in improving the feeding, the revenues, those types of things. And in doing so, you should be able to go back up to the goose and say, look, you know, you're producing a lot more. You're keeping more eggs for yourself. I think I deserve more. I think that that is all because of me, and I deserve some of that. That is an honest conversation that a leader has with a corp, you know, an owner. Both are leaders, but I'm going to tell you that 9 times out of 10, people don't necessarily, like, you know, when you start a business, a landscaping or what have you, maybe you have a great niche in doing something, creativity or what have you. And you build this business and you get somebody and you've advanced so much that you have multiple stores in retail or what have you, or in engineering. And you realize that, you know, what you have created is actually a great business and a great, you know, opportunity for employment of people. But you can't necessarily manage. You don't have all of those different skills. So you hire somebody to do that. You need to make sure that you compensate that person, because if not, there's a good likelihood that that person will leave. Well, we're at a hard break, so we will be right back and talking about more attributes after the break. Thank you so much. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my 3 C's when you dial in, and let's get on with the dialogue.
So this next attribute, I use 3 words for it, because with just one word over the attribute, people just think it may be more like skills, and I would say versatility. The attribute is versatility, but I will use 2 other words to kind of help zone in what I mean by versatility, because most people would think, well, versatile and skills. No, those are technical things. Versatility, willingness, or flexibility. Sometimes with your job, You're the person who's done the work. You have to be accountable and answerable for that. Are you willing to actually be on call? Are you willing to be available to help people understand? What is your versatility when somebody asks, okay, well, you've done all of this. Yeah, can you do this with that? In other words, you've created this monstrosity. You've created this neat mousetrap. Are you willing to help, you know, explain that to a customer? Are you willing to explain that with manager? Because again, like I said, we've had engineers that they just want to sit in the room. They don't want to talk to anybody. You pay them to do all this coding. So, you know, they don't want to talk. They're not willing. They're not versatile enough to be able to go to help promote, help sell, help package, help explain those types of things. Versatility is a key attribute, and it is one of those attributes that is easily marginalized and not compensated, because lots of times when they've given you a position and you're filling a role or a responsibility and you have to take, you know, personal time out, you know, you're not working 9 to 5s. You're working around the clock or 7 days a week in being answerable so that somebody can call and say, hey, are you being compensated for that? Well, 9 times out of 10, if you're a salaried person, then no. But you have to basically say, hey, you've only given me this much in raise for my salary, but you're gaining all of this consumption of my time and my quality of life. There has to be something that is a tangible compensation. So 9 times out of 10, and most people are very aware of it, that's why they don't want to take a management position, because compensation is usually marginal. They always try to marginalize it. But what ends up happening is if you're truly a responsible and accountable manager and or leader, then you're actually taking a lot of personal time that you're not being compensated for. Now, 9 times out of 10, your employer knows this. But there is that 1 out of 10 times that the employer doesn't know. Are you keeping track of, you know, how much personal time is consumed on a monthly and an annual basis to say, you know, this is not tangible, but I don't feel like I'm being compensated for this? And if you're with a large company, they absolutely understand that. That's why they give you these different perks and these other benefits and so forth. Communications is another attribute. Now, do you articulate yourself? I knew a person that had a stuttering problem, and they just felt that they were never going to succeed. And there are training, skills, or counseling, whatever, that helps, coaching, that helps you overcome that. You know, and in some aspects, if you're looking at leadership, if you're looking at management, I will tell you one of the best, and you have to invest your time and your time, a little bit of money or what have you, if you want to take yourself to the next level, if you want to take your company to the next level. One great way of improving your communication is going to Toastmasters. You know, and if you like, you know, every time you say, you hear a click, or you use a crutch word, click, they have this little clicker. They're constantly clicking. And over time, you will learn not to say, all the time. You will learn that, you know, you've got these bad habits, like saying, you know, or because, you know, is just like an Anyway, I highly recommend Toastmasters. It is a great forum to immerse yourself into improving your communication skills. Another attribute is cooperation, teamwork, or how well you play with others. Are you willing to give and are you willing to take? Because cooperation is critical. You know, there's way too many prima donnas in the world. There's way too many people that, you know, they want to do it their way or they don't like playing with others. I'm just going to do this, especially in engineering. Some of these people are really, really smart and they don't care about the, you know, as long as they're getting paid what they think is worth their time and, you know, they're not willing to take on, you know, the responsibilities, communications, versatile, all these other different attributes. They're just there to be your ace in the hole of doing this coding, database, whatever. Bottom line, then you have to start looking at going, okay, then if you want to pigeonhole yourself, that's all you want to do, then okay, we'll just keep sliding the pizza under the door. But don't come to us and say, hey, I'm not making the improvements in my compensation. Because no, you're not making the improvements in yourself to be able to doing more, so why would we compensate you that much more? Anyway, you start seeing that everything kind of ties towards what you're doing into how you can improve your compensation. The final attribute is process improvement. Everything is a process. Is everything mapped out by the numbers? Boom, 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 boom. If you do something and you only do it once, such as, you know, you put out a fire because you don't have fires every day in your business workplace. But for some reason, somehow, you know, the candle on the cake, because you're having a birthday celebration, the cake fell over, you know, lit up the gasoline, you had a fire. So, you know, that's not a process that you would be improving upon. But anything that you do in your normal business and your normal work and operations, they're processes. Many a times I've sat down with construction folks and they don't look at building houses as processes. And I go, you got to be kidding me. And so I'm here to, this right here is gold, because mapping and documenting processes will save you money, because the guy that ends up doing something for you and they're really good at it, and because they've come in and they've adapted to your process and they've improved upon it, when that person leaves, if you don't have that process documented, then you'll never get back to that efficiency, that level of productivity that that person brought to you, and it walks out the door. You own that. It's the same thing when you're a coder or with anybody that comes in, whether they're doing creative brick piling or what have you. You own the work if you are the employer or you're the business owner. If you're not having these folks document, so one of the things that you have to stipulate that's a part of the job is the people have to document and they have to write down what they're doing so that it's duplicative. That's what you're paying them for. And if you articulate that in the job description, then everybody understands that, okay, if I'm doing something, then I have to document it. If I make changes, I must document so people, then the owner knows what it is I'm doing that has made this improvement or what have you. This way, when that person walks out your door, they haven't taken your trades and your secrets away from you. They may take them with them, and that's okay. But having them take it away from you when you've been paying them all of this time is a crime. And it's a crime that you've committed, not them, by not having them document. Processes have to be documented before you can actually start. If you're really improving them because you don't know what it is, it's all just magic smoke and mirrors that's occurring until you document. So document, and then as somebody makes improvements, well, shoot, I can cut myself three steps out of this whole thing by just going and doing this and that in this order instead of this order. In doing that, that's a process improvement, folks. And processes can always be improved upon. What I hate, and this is the big difference between leaders and managers. Managers do the processes right. Leaders actually recognize when the processes can be fixed and they implement the process changes as necessary, or they stop the process when recognized that it's a problem. Leaders do the right thing. Managers do the things right. So in other words, managers just follow processes. Leaders engage in stopping processes, improving on processes. So the question is, are you a leader? Or are you a manager? A manager manages the agenda of upper level management, owners, leaders, what have you. That's why when I look at politicians, 9 times out of 10, a politician is a manager, not a leader. They want to tell you that they're a leader because they're coming down with this information of what they need to do. Like Obama, he was not a leader. He was a manager. He was managing the global elitist plan. He wasn't leading America. Bush wasn't leading America. The question is Trump leading America or is he managing? Because when you start looking at some of the things he's doing, you go, well, it seems like he's still a part of the agenda. People that are breaking away from the agenda, people that are breaking away from the, you know, the process of the mold, that is when you start recognizing that's a leader. And so, but anybody that's telling you, oh, I'm breaking away, but you see the same things. It was just like when Bush Sr. and then Clinton stepped in. If you look at what happened, we were going down the same course. There was no leadership by Bill Clinton. It was all about managing the agenda. So, and that's the same thing at work, folks. It's the same thing. Are you leading or are you managing? Are you you're following the process and doing the process right? Or are you recognizing problems and making process improvement? We will be right back with more on creating effective goals after these two promos. Thank you so much. The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our Constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Okay, so this next level or this next step in the process is kind of a unique spin. This is one of those things that people really don't necessarily create the connection between your objectives and the company. These are called, and this is what I refer to as trickle-down objectives or trickle-down changes. Let's say you're working at a lawn mowing service, and that's all they do is they provide lawn mowing, but they're looking to expand, and now they want to start providing landscaping services, actually, just not mowing lawns and maintaining the sprinkler system. So, okay, you know that as a lawn mower and you guy that's working and servicing very specific contracts, then you have to be aware of the sprinkling systems and how to fix them if you damage them and so forth, so that you are what they call a turnkey operator. In other words, you can do it all. They send you out to do the job, you do it all. Well, now all of a sudden, the owner that has got the whole contract in town of mowing lawns, he's now able to expand and start landscaping. And actually, instead of just doing the lawns, we can add shrubberies, we can change out, we can, you know, make improvements, we can, you know, help the commercial decorum or getting into residential, what have you. As they start making these changes, or you see that they want to do those things, guess what? They need people to understand these new aspects. Okay, now we've got to dig holes. Well, some places, if you're going to dig a hole deeper than a few inches, then you need to call your utilities or what have you, because if not, you'll be in big trouble because you may sever a gas line, electrical line, or what have you, especially if you're using good digging tools like trenching or what have you. Anyway, long story short, trickle-down objectives is basically this is something you need to do, because 9 times out of 10, most companies, they don't come along and say, well, we want to go do these things. They just start making these decisions because they don't ask you that they're going to go down this path. Boy, wouldn't life be better for you if everybody asked you what they wanted to do? It doesn't work that way. So anyway, what you have to do then is you have to be cognizant of what the heck the company's changes are. And then you see, oh, look, they're doing this. They're introducing this. They're going after these types of contracts, which means that you may need to learn drip systems, because you don't use a drip for a lawn. You may need to learn fertilizations or different fertilizations instead of just, and I'm only speaking in landscaping context. This can be done in engineering or what have you. But as a company starts making changes, they have objectives, they have goals, mergers, acquisitions, whatever it is that they're doing, they want to step up in mergers, acquisitions. Then all of a sudden, you need to figure out how you can help contribute. Trickle down objectives. In other words, use opportunities, because the company has these needs and it can trickle down to either driving you to get better education, driving you to learn new skills. Opportunities. Again, these are opportunities that you can find yourself swimming upstream without really resistance. You'll be pulled upstream. They will send you a lifeline and pull you up if all of a sudden you happen to have the training and skills necessary to being able to do the new expansions that the business or corporations looked at. In some cases, in technology, you're moving from one database to a different version or different version. You see these things. These are called trickle-down objectives. It's being cognizant of the tactical environment so that you can make, or even the strategic environment, so that you can make the personal adjustments in your objectives to meet or connect or dovetail, might be a better term, to dovetail with the organization. Now, there are different levels within an organization. There's the overall corporate culture or the corporate organization. Then there is the directorate, the department, whatever. I mean, and it's a chain of command of the company that you're working in, all the way down to the team or group. And so as you look all the way up, what are the different changes that are afoot that you may need to adjust to? These are important. Do not marginalize this, because if you go down the path of with serving you and then all of a sudden you're okay with doing these things, but the company's moved away from doing it, you've created obsolescence in yourself. So if you understand the importance of being cognizant of the changes and how the company is constantly making adaptions and evolutions and changes in their business environment, then you can actually meet their needs and you will become a hero. And that's good, because compensation usually comes with that. And I know it's not always about compensation, but a lot of times it is. As a matter of fact, what do they say? Money talks and something walks. Anyway, so now you want to actually get into creating your goals. And so you actually want to start, you know, creating your goals. And let's start with your core competencies. Where do you have shortfalls? This is where you have to be honest with yourself. What are your shortfalls? In looking at everybody else you work with, are you equally as good in all the aspects? Or are there some things you need to improve on? You know, and I'll give you a good example of just in golf, right? You know, if you're a golfer, if you're really good at driving, but your putting is bad, do you have to be told you need to improve your putting? You need to work on that so that you become a more well-rounded or more competitive golfer. It's the same thing in engineering. It's the same thing in every aspect, every career. Where are your shortfalls? Be honest with yourself. If you can't be honest, you really think that you walk on water, then talk to other people and you'll be brought down to earth quickly. Shortfall objectives are an objective that helps you identify a single skill or a few of skills that you can improve your performance, remember, or perform or improve your skill base, because maybe it's something you just don't know and you need to learn. It's all about improving what you are currently doing just so you can keep that job. You know, they very rarely will a company keep somebody around just because they're good looking. Nine times out of 10, you better be bringing something else to the game. And so anyway, so you want to actually start your goals off with what are your shortfalls right now? Right. So this is a very, you're starting at the tactical level, understanding where your strategies are. You need to get this education, these other things. But here are things you need to do today and in the near term to start improving your basic core competencies of your current job. Okay. So now let's say you're on top of that. You don't have a lot of shortcomings, or you do, you've addressed all that. And okay, you've got a plan forward in improving your core competencies. This would be a lower difficulty rating. So when you look at, in engineering, we actually break things down with difficulty rating. Can you connect the wires? Can you go in and configure? Can you troubleshoot? Those types of things. And so you really want to go into the details, and only you know what your discipline is to get into those details of your shortcomings. Anyway, the next goal you want to set is your enhancement objectives. How can you enhance your current skills? Okay, you're maxing out on your job position. You can do everything. You're perfect at everything. Okay, so what do you need to enhance yourself to fit where there is a lacking, or it all depends on where you want to go, right? And if there's no opportunity to move forward at this point in time, but you know down the road there will be, then now is the time in enhancements that you need to start developing. And these should be skill areas that you can be enhancing. These can be educational areas. These can be formal education, technical education. These can also be leadership, management types of education as well. And these are obviously things that are preparing you to move into a level of leadership and or management. Unless you want to move into, and as a matter of fact, if you understand engineering and you're working on this and you want to understand a business, a different business perspective of the business and what they do, go into proposals, because they use people at the lower levels to write the proposals. And if you're already at that point where you have the competencies of doing the job, nine times out of 10, they could probably use you in the proposal space as well. Now, that's in the type of companies where they actually have a different proposal business or proposal group, and that way they don't interfere with current production. And so, you know, sometimes in a smaller company, the same group of people do both proposals and do the work and so forth. And I'm telling you, if you're in a company like that, nine times out of 10, they're not really compensating you for all the versatility and all the things that you were doing and giving them. And here you're basically helping the company make it to a huge jump in a level, you know, in moving in higher revenues and so forth. What, nine times out of 10, you never become the benefactor of all of that that you're doing unless you're well in articulating, hey, you know, you're asking us to do more than just our basic job here. And so we're actually, I've got two or three different jobs that have different compensation ratings, and you should be compensating us for that. Nine times out of 10, they don't want to do that, or they can't do it at the time. So what you need to do is you need to articulate, okay, hey, if we start winning this business, we want to, you know, we need a percentage on this or a take. That's how you start articulating instead of doing collective labor, but doing individual labor negotiations. When you say, okay, if I'm going to be doing that, I'm okay with that, but I think that there should be some level of compensation. If not, then you're asking us to do something that is outside the job description and so forth. If that all makes sense, then that's all about learning. And if you don't know how to negotiate, then you need those types of skills as well. This goes back to the same thing as if you're in business for yourself or business for somebody else, you still need to have business skills. Now, we're going into another break. We'll be right back after these two promos. So we'll be right back on, and we'll be back into enhancement objectives. Thank you so much. Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. The show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. Okay, so now we just wrapped up on enhancements. So far we've covered your competencies, right? You're setting competency goals for shortfalls, those types of things. Enhancements, which is a part of your competencies. And then the next step are attribute objectives. Remember these attributes: productivity, skills, your willingness, versatility, or flexibility, communications, cooperation and teamwork, process improvement, and I'll even include involvement. Getting involved, let's say there's employee, get together, social, those types of things. It is always a good thing to show that you care about your fellow employees. Nobody likes to work with a guy that, is completely indifferent and has no appreciation for anybody around them. I mean, we have, the world's filled with those people, or there's way too many of them. If you're working with one, that's one too many. Anyway, these attributes are things that, again, you need to look at. We've went through each of these. What do you need to do to make these types of improvements and set some goals? So when you're sitting down and making your goals and you have, this year end or the beginning of the year, you should have this huge checklist of things that you need to work on. There should be interconnectivity between your productivity, your skills, versatility, and so forth. Some of these things are just things that you need to focus on and, actually speaking up. Some of these things will be actually things you'll need to actually go take a course, do something. But these things is a plan. You are creating the plan now that you have sat down and identified your competencies, your shortfalls in your competencies, and developing greater competencies in doing your enhancements. And those enhancements, again, are things that are beyond just the skills, right? They could be obtaining education, administration, those types of things, and your attributes. all of these things reinforce your basically your what I will call your overall objectives, or they all work together. You have to also then look at what you are doing and how they overlay with the organizational trickle-down objectives. In other words, if you look at what you're doing and you look at the direction the company wants to go, then you should. This should actually overlay and actually dovetail or should fit very well with what the company is planning on. If you're going in one direction and the company's going in another, you know, like let's say you're selling or you're working on database applications, interfaces, and apps and so forth, and that's what you're doing, but the company is making a move and going and actually building the, you know, not just building the application, but building the device as well, then you need to start looking at enhancing into hardware and other types of skills to help you make the adaption that the company is looking at going down, or at least understanding what these changes are and how you can better melt or mesh with what they are planning on doing. You have to be cognizant of your goals and how well they mesh with the directions that the, because companies make changes and they have objectives on a yearly basis. Sometimes a good company will communicate them. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they're too strategic and too sensitive that they don't want to do that. So let me just kind of summarize this, because we're just at that point in the show as well. In a goal summary, you should at least have a minimum of one shortfall goal objective that will help you improve your core competencies. And you can have as many objectives in enhancements that you feel you can obtain. In other words, how much schooling can you take in 1 year? And we'll get into all of this as we apply, because I want to give you the SMART perspective. As many attribute objectives as you feel you can obtain, like process improvement, communications, versatility, so forth, and tying as many objectives. And as a matter of fact, one of the things the company loves, you know, this may be the brown noser approach, but if you tie each of your objectives to what the company is doing, then your boss looks and, wow, you know, that's awesome. You're making improvements just as what we need. What a good corporate boy or gal. Anyway, most of the enhancement objectives and attribute objectives, again, should actually be tied towards those trickle down or the corporate direction that you see them trying to make. All objectives, though, every single objective that you have on this list should be pointing you towards that long-term objective. Now, this is only on a yearly basis. Now you need to start looking at, you know, what other positions, what other, you know, education. So, I need to get a bachelor's. So you don't basically say, I'm going to go get a doctorate. And when you start your education, you have to first figure out what you're going to do for your bachelor's, what you're going to do for your master's, and what you'll do for your doctorate. So you have to start planning and making sure that you have a plan, and then you have to execute the plan. Again, all of your objectives are you're self-defeating if these are not leading you towards that ultimate objective. Now, here's some key guidance that you need to understand in making your objectives SMART. So make them specific. A specific describes an observable action or the end state which can be seen when the performance objective has been achieved. In other words, what specifically is to be accomplished. So make sure your goals are very specific. The next thing, this is the SMART, Peter Drucker SMART method. Measurable, quantifiable criteria for evaluating the accomplishment of the objective. In other words, how much? Determine the methods, timing, and tools used to arrive at the measurement. Achievable. Describe a result that can both the supervisor and you, the employee, can feel is realistically achieved, even though the objective may be challenging. Now, here's a good example. let's say you have to, you know, one of the things that has to be done is you have to, you know, kind of clean up, you know, at the end of the week for facilities to come through and do, or monthly or what have you. And let's say your objective is to get all the stairs checked or stairs stacked so they can take care of the floors. Well, I'm here to tell you that you can't stack all the chairs in one stack because you may have too many chairs that will actually fit. So they have to be achievable. So in other words, you want to be able to, you know, have as many chairs stacked, but not necessarily something that you can't manage or something that you can't achieve. The whole point is make sure that whatever your goals are, that you can achieve it. Don't set a goal of getting a four-year degree in 1 year. It's unachievable. But you can get courses done towards that degree. And then you can go and actually achieve those. So they have to be achievable. So again, specific, measurable, achievable. The R in SMART is relevant. Directly aligned to the business priorities and objectives for the organization. In other words, are your goals relevant tied to these, the direction of the company, what we call trickle-down objectives? The final part of the SMART, S-M-A-R-T, specific, M, measurable, A, achievable, R, relevant, T, time-bound, indicates the time schedule or deadline for achieving the performance objective. In other words, when are you going to be have done? When are you going to be done with this? Now, this is the most important part. And I like to use cheesy cliches, so I'll go through the cheesy cliches first because they kind of hit, you know, and emphasize what you need to do. Inch by inch, life's a cinch. Yard by yard, life is hard. You can't get that degree, a 12-year degree in a month. But if you do it an inch at a time, a day at a time, a month at a time, a semester at a time, you can get it done. Seeing is believing, so focus is the act of seeing and persistence is the act of believing. Seeing is believing. The one thing that separates the chumps from the trumps is focus and persistence. So that's why focus and persistence are very critical. And again, focusing is the seeing seeing is believing. So focus is the act of seeing and persistence is the act of believing. So you see it, you have to act upon it. Anyway, here is the probably the most important thing that actually helps you in putting these cheesy cliches into context. I've got 1 minute left. Type all these things out. As a matter of fact, use images, type out paragraphs, make bullets or what have you, and put them around your workspace. Put them into your house. Put them where you look on a daily basis. Put it up on your bathroom mirror. Put it on your refrigerator. Put it above your bed. My father used to have a sign above his bed, "Today I will operate at 212 degrees Fahrenheit," which is mass optimum operating temperature for water. We're water-based, right? So we're boiling. And so that's when water reaches its mass potential, or max potential, I mean. And so he wanted to operate at his max potential. That was his little sign. So create these little reminders that you have goals. You can spend a lot of time writing effective goals, and if you just put them in a drawer and forget about them, then that's about as good as they've done, and you've completely wasted your time. You have to print these out. You have to create imagery for these to constantly remind you, because if not, when you're wanting to save money, and if you don't put a little reminder in your wallet, hey, you're supposed to be saving money, then when you open that wallet, you spend that money and you're not saving the money. So you have to start visualizing, you have to start seeing, and you have to start believing. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic and we need your help. And tomorrow we'll be doing some marketing. So God bless. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.